So far, the regional tensions in the Middle East have stayed away from Palestine, Jordan, and Israel, the traditional center of the Arab-Israeli conflict. But this week, there are some chilling signs that this may be changing. This week, there were funerals for three Israeli teenagers, apparently abducted on June 12th, their bodies found 18 days later. Now, the discovery of the body of a Palestinian teenager in a forest outside Jerusalem, and public accusations that this may be some kind of revenge killing.
What's happening in the West Bank, Gaza, and East Jerusalem today are war crimes, and the Israeli government's fully responsible for this.
That's Chief Palestinian Negotiator Saad Erekat speaking yesterday to the Associated Press. Joining us now is Jody Rudoran, Jerusalem Bureau Chief for our partner, The New York Times. Jody, how tense are things in Israel and Palestine right now as people attempt to cope with these apparently unrelated but possibly related crimes?
Pretty tense, John. A couple different things happening here. First of all, there's definitely a lot of just tension and debate and fear in the air. I think people were really wrenched by both the original abduction of the three Israeli teenagers and then the intense Israeli crackdown on the West Bank that followed. Then we had these very emotional funerals on Tuesday, and then Wednesday morning woke up to this horrific kidnapping and killing of a Palestinian teenager in East Jerusalem. His body was burned. And now what's happening, there are kind of two or maybe three things happening. First of all, in Shuafat, in the East Jerusalem neighborhood, Muhammad's family and friends are waiting for the body to be released from an autopsy for a funeral. And many people are afraid that clashes might break out again at that funeral or afterward, although it is very calm in the neighborhood today. But in the south, near Gaza, there's been a real increase in tension. Overnight, there was a barrage of rockets, two of which hit homes in the border town of Sderot. And the Israeli military has just announced that they are amassing troops in the communities around the Gaza Strip. They say they are not looking for an escalation. They are very much in a policy of de-escalation, they're emphasizing, but they say these are partly defensive positions and partly preparations for a possible operation if pushed or provoked further.
We're talking with Jody Rudoran, Jerusalem Bureau Chief for our partner, The New York Times. Jody, what is the sense on the street of just people in conversation about how long Israel and Palestine can remain in this internal stalemate, which we've talked about incessantly, but also amidst this sea of chaos that really stretches from Egypt all the way to Iraq right now?
Well, I guess I'll answer that in a couple of different ways. I mean, first of all, in many ways, I think people were surprised and somewhat relieved that yesterday was not a more violent and ugly day than it was. I know when I woke up and found this news of this teenager being killed, I was bracing for riots to break out all over Jerusalem and maybe in the West Bank. And there was a very fierce clash in that neighborhood where the kidnapping took place, but really contained there. The other very powerful feeling, I think, everywhere is a real wrenching feeling about violence on both sides, loss of teenagers on both sides. In terms of that bigger question you asked, though, about, you know, is there a horizon to get out of it? I mean, people here are very, very resigned and exhausted to the idea that this conflict is kind of interminable and intractable. A lot of people, some of them think the status quo is sustainable, and some Israelis, especially Palestinians, really hate the status quo. But I think a lot of them also just do not really see a way out of it. And so that long before this particular set of kidnappings and killings and other escalations that have been related started, there was that sense of deep kind of both resignation and exhaustion, I think, on both sides.
As someone who reported during the original Intifada in the 1980s and then also spent some time in Israel during that so-called second Intifada, you had these violent twists that would escalate the conflict. In the case of the first Intifada, stones, and then the second Intifada, the suicide bombings and the bombings in civilian areas. Is there any particular significance to the targeting of teenagers here as a way of escalating or making more brutal the tactics in this particular conflict? Any commentary on that?
I think what's different here is there's something, in some ways, it's just more personal and intimate, maybe, because there's this kind of narrative with each of the two cases that we have. And maybe, I mean, this is maybe a little odd to say, but maybe because it hasn't happened as much recently and it's an isolated, you know, an individual case, like everyone in Israel got to know these three families. And now I think people are starting to get to know Mohammed Abu Khader's family. And I think maybe that's just, it is a difference, but I don't know if it's more brutal. The other thing I will say, from everything I've heard about the Second Intifada, I mean, we are not seeing signs of that kind of fear that Israelis, you know, should I go to this cafe? Should I get up? Me and my husband should not travel on the same bus. There's none of that today.
Well, that's definitely good to hear. But it is interesting the point you make about how the particular nature of both of these fatalities, the Israeli teenagers and now the Palestinian, has personalized the conflict in a way that can be so impersonal if you spend time reporting there. I think that's an interesting point.
Well, I think it's, you know, it is really important always to remember that, you know, there are human beings everywhere, and the soldiers are human beings, and the victims are human beings, and the Palestinian workers whose permits have been denied are human beings, and the mothers, of course, are human beings, the mothers of these lost teenagers.
Great reporting. Jody Rodoran, Jerusalem bureau chief for our partner, The New York Times. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much for having me, John.